Nak, did I put in scriptures? Okay, just check for me which ones I put in. Genesis. I can't see there. No, it's the wrong one. You can just skip it, sorry. For those of you who want to know why there's more confusion than usual, it's because my computer decided to die. And so I'm working on different places and from my iPad. So things are very, very interesting at this point in time in my life. But the scripture we were supposed to read is from Genesis 7. So I've got the nearly infallible version here, so you can just listen well. Or if you want to follow in your Bibles, it's on page 7. I'm not going to say which testament, because if you don't know where Genesis is, then we've got problems. Okay. From verse 1, then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 of every kind of clean animal, every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the day, throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. And that is where our scripture in reading ends for today. And while I'm reading it, I'm thinking to myself, I read the wrong scriptures. But let me just go. Yeah, I'll just preach it right, don't worry. Oh, this is the one I'm looking for. Verse 9, chapter 6. That's why you've got a pew Bible. You don't have to fiddle with your cell phone. This is the account of Noah. This is just the one verse that I want to read. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. And he had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay. Or Jockey Jr., if you've heard that joke before. Sorry for that. It was actually the right scriptures, just a lot of confusion on my side of the pulpit or the lectern. But I do have good news today. Today is a one-point sermon. Only 1 point, I promise you. And the 1 point is to answer a very interesting but very in-depth question that I'm sure all of you, from Charles all the way to Nats, have already asked yourself. And the question is this: how do I become a floater? Yes. A floater. Now, how you define the word floater is totally up to you, but the idea is, learning from Noah's story, how do you rise above the storms? How do you actually, so when the waves come crashing in, how do you rise above this? And we're going to use Noah's story. We've used it last week as well, but it's the background, the backdrop for what we've got. Now, last week, for those of you who dared to miss the service or did not watch online, there were 3 points. The first one was that if you read Noah's story, the one thing that is actually quite surprising in the story is that our actions, our choices, the way that we treat one another, not only affects God, but it causes suffering to him. The way, you know what's going on in the country, going on in the city, the way that we're treating him, it's actually causing him suffering. He's the one that is in distress. The second point was that the flood pointed towards Jesus, in the sense that salvation comes through judgment. And then 1 Peter 3, I ended off with saying that Peter used this idea that the ark was a picture of God's salvation in Jesus. Now, if you go and read the story of the ark, it's crazy how it's a perfect picture of Jesus. I'll give you one simple example. So when God instructed Noah to build the ark, you all know that he had to cover it with pitch, bitumen. You know that tar substance? that you make something waterproof for. Here's the interesting but useless fact for you. That word appears another 31 times in the Old Testament. Guess is what it's translated, that exact word. Atonement. Atonement. So the ark was enabled to float through atonement. Do you see what I mean? You can nerd out for years on the ark. I can bore you to death here if I really, really wanted to. But it's so rich, it's so amazing that you can go for hours and hours about this. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, what in heaven's name besieged a man to build, basically for all intents and purposes, a cruise liner in Bloemfontein? That's the equivalent. Now, the commentators, they can't agree on how long a cubit is. So I decided, just to impress you, I'm going to take the big estimation. So imagine a wooden box 7 stories high, 3 rugby fields long, made out of wood, with 3 levels in it. Took this dude 120 years. 120 years, while for 120 years, everybody that he knew made fun of him. What causes somebody to do something like that? That is just absolutely bonkers. But it was the thing that brought salvation to him and his family. And if you read, this is why I had to read 9 to you, am I coming and going? It sounds like that. Okay, so verse 9 said, in the Old Testament, it said that Noah walked with God. He was a man of integrity and he was righteous. When the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, writes about Noah, he says that he had godly fear, he condemned the world, and that he was an heir to righteousness. Now, I know this doesn't sound this way, but those two lists of 3 actually complement one another. And it's all complementing my 1-point sermon. So just wait, I'll tell you now. So the thing that you hear, the first one is that Noah walked with God, and which the writer of Hebrews 11 says he had godly fear. That implies Noah had a relationship with God to the point where when God spoke, he believed God. I mean, just take a moment, think cruise liner. You drive up Kenneth Kunda, go over the N1, and there where Wilder Als, that farm is where they always have the gatherings, there's a wooden box, 3 rugby fields, 7 stories high, and George is building it. Okay? We would all look at George and go like, dude, seriously, come on. But that is in effect what happened. And the question is then, okay, so how did this come to pass? And the thing is that Noah heard God speak and he acted on it. That was the godly fear that he had. Now, let me take a step back and tell you this. Most of humanity believe that there is a God. Just about everybody believes that there's a God. The percentage of people who say there is no God or higher being, creator, higher form of living, whatever, they are so small compared to the rest of us that it's negligible. You can ignore them. They don't register on the scale. Then the amount of people who believe in God, much, much smaller, okay, who believe in God. But the amount of people who believe God, actually very, very small. See, it's easy for us to say, well, I believe in God. But if you look at our actions, then we're a little bit like what Jesus referred to when he spoke about the days of Noah. He said, people will marry, they will have children, they'll plant vineyards, they will do life, you know. We'll even make fun of weird Uncle George, you know, while he's building, or Uncle Noah, or whatever, you know. That we will do that, we'll do life, and then all of a sudden this comes, this flood comes. But the thing that makes it amazing is that people, although they believe in God, they are, the idea that serving God or that he's a God comes with consequences is quite a foreign idea for most people. They live removed from the consequences. And that this is what Noah did. The one commentator, he put it so brilliantly, he said, the people started trembling when the water levels got to the roofs of their houses. Noah started trembling when God spoke. There's a difference. There's a massive, massive difference between believing in God and then believing God. And Noah was the guy who had godly fear. So when God spoke, he believed him and he acted upon it. And so when it comes to being a floater, the one point is this: believe God in terms of what he said. Now, just in terms of that, you need to understand that we're going to tremble at some stage. All of us are going to tremble. We just can choose when. Do we tremble when God speaks, or do we tremble when the consequences? That's our choice. We can choose the when, but all of us will tremble. But it leads me to the next point, where it says Noah was a man of integrity, or what the Hebrew writer of Hebrews actually defines as condemning the people of his time. Now, please hear me. When we talk about condemnation, I am not referring to what you can see on WhatsApp and Facebook at this point in time. I'm trying very hard to restrain myself from the nonsense. The fact that people with brain cells actually waste their time on what's going on social media at this point in time is beyond me. It makes me go like, I just want to tap out. Because the amount of garbage that gets circulated in the name of truth is, in the words of my philosophical daughter, redonkulous. It is absolutely crazy. I made the mistake. I'm on the Weise Kreises golf group. I played golf with a very old guy once, and then I got added onto the group. The group is muted, but the day after the Springboks won, or in that week, there was this clip played of Parliament where the EFF stood up and they complained about the Springboks. And that thing went like wildfire. You should have seen how the group responded to it. And for some reason, I'm not sure why I did it, I clicked on that thing. And it just confirmed to me what an idiot I was in that moment. Because nobody took the time to realize that that video clip was from 4 years ago, after we won the 2019 World Cup. No, nobody did. They didn't deserve it. It just went like wildfire. It's like, oh, do you see? And this goes for just about everything. Things go viral in the most weird and absurd ways. And I'm standing sometimes amazed that people would actually do this and engage with this, allow that into their lives willingly. And when it comes to condemnation at this point in time, you even get this on Facebook or WhatsApp and all these places where people will say to you, no, God is coming to judge. And they condemn people so much that they go straight to hell and they don't even get 200 rands when they get past that. You know, it's just like off you go. This is not what that scripture refers to. Noah was a man of integrity. Integrity, the word picture for integrity means that you do the thing. For this building to have integrity, it must be able to do what it was designed for. So for this building to have integrity, there must be structural, it must be structurally strong enough to be able to keep the roof off, on top of us, that it doesn't fall in. The moment these walls cannot support this structure, then the building has lost integrity. In the same way, integrity for us as human beings means that we do what we were designed to do. And for those of you who thought a couple of weeks ago that the doctrine of creation is a waste of time, I said to you, we were created for connection. You were created for connection with yourself, with creation, with the people around you, but most importantly, connection with God. And that's what Noah did. He walked with God. And while he was walking with God, as he was designed to do, not partaking in the violence of everything that was going around him, God spoke to him and he acted in godly fear on that thing. And because God's opinion mattered more than the opinion of people, what he started doing was building a cruise liner just outside of town. You and I were designed for connection with God. But the connection with God is something that we have to give time for and we have to position ourselves. It does not come like a seizure upon us. It's something that we actually have to invest in. You don't just walk with God and he sort of like, just one day, oops, oh, here you are. And then 3 weeks from now, oh, here we are. It's so nice to meet you. It's like bumping into someone in Pick and Pay. That's not how it works. Walking with God is God. It says, I'm here. I'm here because I want to hear. I'm here for you. And in that process, it changes from believing in God to believing God. Simple example. Think about forgiveness of sins. Okay? We believe in a God who forgives sins. Huh? This is a good time. Good time. Because like, yes, yeah, I believe that sincerely. But can you or would you think that there would be a difference between believing in a God who forgives sins or that God forgave my sins, your sins? Do you think that there might be a difference? Thank you for shaking your heads. That helps me tremendously. It's not rocket science. It's just the moment you become aware, he forgave my sins, it changes the way that you do everything. And it just changes your perspective on life. And the thing about it is people around you won't understand that. They won't understand while something bad is happening, why do you have peace? Or why, can you believe it? You give some of your money for the church? Have you seen the minister of that church? And do you know what they stand for? That how on earth, why would you do that? Why would you be patient with a taxi driver? Okay, well, we're all working on that one. But, you know, you know what I mean? They will look at our behavior and go like, listen, yeah, this just doesn't make sense. And that is what it means to live with integrity, because you're walking with God, you believing him, it changes the way that you just do life. Noah went on with his business and it didn't make sense to the people. And when the writer of Hebrews looks at that, he says, because he was so different, just doing, that was condemning. It exposed what they were busy doing. Does that make sense? Okay. Third thing, you're not a rocket scientist if you compare those two. It says Noah was righteous. And that in Hebrews it says he was the heir to righteousness. Now, the thing that is amazing is, and I said it just now, that Noah valued God's opinion more than the opinion of people. But when he heard God speak, in obedience, he started doing something very, very practical. Outrageous, but very, very practical. And that obedience led to the building of the ark, led to salvation for him and his family and the animals. Yeah? So it starts with the walking, the hearing, obedient salvation. Okay? What is beautiful is that when Noah went into the ark, there was only one door, and God closed that door behind him. Now, you all know where this is going to go. Jesus is the door. He is the doorway for us to get into this place where we become floaters. There's no other way that you get there, because he is the one that opened up the door for us. Now, just want to check the time. Maybe there's time for two tangents. Okay. The one on social media was totally for free. For this one, we'll take up an offering just now. You know this idea where people say good people go to heaven, that God is a God of love, so everybody's going to go to heaven. If people live a good life, you will take them into heaven. If you've heard somebody say something to that extent, then you and I, as Christians, no worries. I've done much worse. You and I as Christians should actually just drop our heads. Because if it's about goodness, then none of us are going to make heaven. If that is true, if God is such a God of love that there's no judgment, there's no standard, and everything is just as you would like on your merry way, if that is the truth, then none of us qualify for heaven. We need it. We need the door into the ark. We need Jesus. He's the one who lived the life that we should have lived. He's the one who died the death that we should have lived. He's the one who rose from the grave and gave us everything that is not ours. But he gave it to us freely. But it takes faith. It takes faith to believe that and to realize, even especially when the storms come, that the one that keeps me floating is not my ability, but it's if I am in Christ, then I'll have the ability, in the ark if you like, then I will have the ability to float above the waves, above the storm. And that is what this ark, this whole story signifies. But it comes from this one simple point. The difference between believing in God and believing God. It's as simple as that. So here's the question I've got for you. Do you believe in God or do you believe God? Hold on before you answer. Okay? What does God say about forgiveness? What did you hear him say about forgiveness? What did God say to you about provision, healing? What is the thing that God said to you you can't do? What's the thing that he told you you should do? If you sit here and you go like, actually not quite sure, then the practical encouragement today is hey, become a person of integrity. Do what you were designed to do. Begin to walk with God. It's going to take time. It's going to take you positioning yourself. So instead of reading that crap on Facebook, take your Bible, read that. Did I say crap in church? I'm sorry. That nonsense. The nonsense. Nuck, you'll have to edit that one out. I'm sorry. Instead of watching that soapy, or that mindless thing, take the time, go and pray. You have to position yourself. It's not going to just happen. But position yourself and give the time to Him so that it can move from I believe in God to I believe God. Because just like with the example, just like the example of the forgiveness, if you want to see the power of God flow in and through you in the way that makes you not only rise above the storms of everything that's going on, then you have to, the shift comes from believing in God to believing God. And that's the point of this sermon. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you're a mighty God. And Lord, we do have to confess that most of us believe in you, but we're selective when it comes to believing you. We want to repent, Lord. There are so many things of your life, of your power, of your kingdom that we would desire to see in our lives. But Lord, we still want the freedom to choose when and where and how and what. Our prayer this morning is, Lord, that you will give us the grace to walk with you, that you will enable us to walk with you, to position ourselves for encounters with you. And instead of just going through life, that we will hear you, and then from that you will give us godly fear, reverence for you, respect for you, that we will do what you've called us to do. Lord, you said that we live in the times of Noah. Give us the grace and the mercy to be the Noahs in this time, so that not only salvation to our city and our nation and our continent will come in through Jesus, but through us as well. But Lord, in this, that we would be able to rise above everything in your power, by your grace, by faith, above everything that's happening. We entrust ourselves to you, and Holy Spirit, we ask that you will do the miracle in us that we can't do ourselves. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.